I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. There's no one that can match me. My style is impeccable.
Yo! And welcome to the Fit. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and it goes down on the blackest and realest sports show ever, the Fix Sports Podcast on the Freedom Train Network. Gang signs in the air. Throw your sets up. Hey, how y'all doing out there in radio podcast listening land? All right? Man, I appreciate each and every one of you all who tune in Fix every week to hit my crazy ass, give you my take on sports from my black perspective. You know, this is your audio barbershop where we talk about sports. I got a little cold. I got boogers in my nose. Yeah, so I'm going to sound a little nasal today, but goddamn it, that don't stop the show, because one booger don't stop no show. All right? So, of course, you know, The Fix is brought to you by, sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants delivers African history at your fingertips through a variety of formats. So they have a On the Shoulders of Giants book series, On the Shoulders of Giants blog series, On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, right? On the Shoulders of Giants African history curriculum app. And also educational classes, seminars, and speaking engagements, which On the Shoulders of Giants can deliver critical African history information in an entertaining but yet fundamental way that you can leave with and take the information and actually use it. So for more information, make sure you visit www.ontheshouldersone.com to visit the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, and also visit www.ontheshoulders.org to visit the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit website. Remember, you can follow me, Joseph Ward, and The Fix on Twitter at JoeWard84. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. You can follow the you can subscribe to the Freedom Train Network's YouTube channel, so go ahead and do that and make sure you click that notification button. You can subscribe, you can like the Freedom Train Network's Facebook page, that way you can keep up with us. And last but not least, you can subscribe to Freedom Train Network and The Fix on iTunes and Google Play. So go ahead and be down, all the way down with us. Let's go ahead and get the show kicked off. And as you know, I always start with my HBCU spotlight. So this week's HBCU spotlight is going, I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna set it up for you. This HBCU spotlight is strictly out of pettiness. I ain't gonna lie. And the reason why it's out of pettiness, because I am a Florida A&M rattler, right? I grew up on FAMU campus, and I graduated from FAMU with a degree in psychology, right? So we had a homecoming game yesterday against North Carolina A&T. I don't know why we scheduled North Carolina A&T, but we did. So coming in, as I told you last week, A&T was 6-0. So A&T's now 7-0, and we lost. So I am going to put my spotlight on the Central State University, because they spoiled University of Arkansas Pine Bluffs homecoming with a 40-35 thrilling victory. And it was a good one. It was a shootout, not a lot of good defense, a lot of back and forth. And Central State came out with the victory. I am excited to talk about that because Arkansas Pine Bluff, you all can feel how we feel. But if you know anything about black college football, we don't really give a damn about that loss because we're going to party anyway. So throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you're down with dish and fish and grits and everybody say, oh, yeah. And reason why I say it like that, because, you know, black college football, it's a party. It's a party. I wish more emphasis was on football, but it's a party. So after the game, you can't tell nobody was sad that FAMU lost. So I guarantee you can tell nobody was sad that Arkansas Pine Bluff lost. So the final score, like I said, was 40-35, and Central State comes up with the victory. And it seems to be Central State's first win. It seems to be their first win of the season. I might be a little wrong. I've been looking for the support statistics and things, and I might be wrong, but I think that's Central State's first victory. But if it is, one time for Central State and one time for goddamn homecoming. I just like homecoming. Now, I don't know about anybody homecoming, but here in Tallahassee, and I know I'm all off topic, but it don't even matter. So here in Tallahassee, when FAMU homecoming happens, the city shuts down. And you know it's FAMU homecoming. Now, like I told y'all, Florida State and FAMU are literally separated by railroad tracks. So Florida State, when it's probably their homecoming next week. Maybe, I'm not sure. But when it's Florida State's homecoming, you won't really know unless you, like, drive up to the stadium. Like, I mean, game day, like, you don't even really know. But when it's FAMU homecoming, you can tell. Because it's black folk everywhere. But homecoming is a great time. It's a great time. I got me old FAMU shirt. Ooh, shoot. It's all good. But one time for Central State for coming up with the victory over University of Arkansas Pine Bluff and spoiling their homecoming with a 40-35 victory. Now, I have some HBCU news for you. Now, I wish I would have covered this last week. I don't know how I missed it last week. But now we're coming up on the induction of the newest induction installment of inductees into the 18 Black College Football Hall of Fame. And the induction ceremony is actually going to happen on February 18th in the 8th, right? Or in Atlanta, like in country for itself in Atlanta, right? So on October 25th, the inductees were announced. And the following 22 are the inductees. So, 7 Adams, who was a QB for Tennessee State from 77 to 80. Coy Bacon, who was a defensive lineman at Jackson State from 64 to 67. Dwayne Boyd was a DN from North Carolina A&T State University from 75 to 78. Emerson Boozer was a running back from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore from 62 to 65. Harold Carmichael was a wide receiver from Southern Years from 67 to 70. Raymond Chester was a tight end for Morgan State from 69. Hugh Douglas was a DN for Central University from 91 to 94. Hugh, one time for Hugh. Earl Air Harvey was a QB for North Carolina Central University from 85 to 88. Thomas Henderson was a linebacker from Langston University from 71 to 74. James Hunter was a DB from Grambling State University from 72 to 75. Henry Lawrence was an offensive lineman from the Florida A&M University from 70 to 73. Greg Lloyd was a linebacker from Fort Valley State University from 83 to 86. Lincoln Leo Locomotive Lewis was a running back from Lincoln University from 51 to 54. Leo Lincoln Locomotive Lewis, that doesn't sound like one of them big boy lines. That's right, just like one of them big boy lyrics. Leo Lincoln Locomotive Lewis on that lavish Lincoln looking back like a loud loud. All right, so Frank Lewis was a wide receiver from Grambling State from 67 to 70. Robert Mathis was an offensive lineman from Alabama A&M from 99 to 02. Tyrone McGriff was an offensive lineman at the Florida A&M University from 76 to 79. Timothy Newsom was a running back and a kick returner from Winston-Salem State. Winston-Salem State University from 76 to 79. These books was messing with me, man. Joe Taylor was a wide receiver from Delaware State University from 82 to 85. Emerson Walls was a DB from Grambling State from 77 to 80. Johnny Walton was a QB from Elizabeth City State University from 65 to 68. Eric Williams was an offensive lineman from Central State University from 87 to 90. Cornell Young was a DB from Alcorn State from 76 to 79. They also have three coaches in the final spots. There's Bill Hayes. He coached at Winston-Salem and North Carolina A&T. Arnett Ace Mumford coached at Jarvis Christian, Bishop College, Texas College, and Southern. And Joe Taylor coached at Howard, Virginia Union, Hampton, and Florida A&M University. So shout out to all of them for getting or being nominated for the Black College Football Hall of Fame. And I kind of want to show some love to those men being inducted into the Black Hall of Fame. So one time if I threw me out, show them some love. Show some love. Show some love. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. All right. Also in Black College news, I will give a big ups to Jennifer Lynn Williams on being named Interim Athletic Director at Alabama State University. Go Lynn. Go Lynn. Lynn, go Bankhead. Go Bankhead. Go Bankhead. All right, Lynn, got to do what you do there. Now, Alabama State University President Dr. Quentin T. Ross Jr. has announced that Jennifer Lynn Williams will move into the role of Interim Director of Athletics with the resignation of Mel Bynes. Alabama State University is fortunate to have someone of Ms. Williams' caliber to take this interim position, said Ross. I am fully confident in her ability to lead our athletics department at this critical juncture, said Ross. Williams, in her second year at Alabama State, has more than a decade of experience in athletics administration. As the Deputy Director of Athletics, she managed the day-to-day operations of Hornet Athletics and led the division's external and community relations initiatives. She currently serves on the Executive Board of the National Association of Athletic Development Directors. So this is going to be the voice of Ms. Jennifer Lynn Williams that I'm going to give you. I would like to thank Dr. Ross and Alabama State University leadership for entrusting me with leading our athletic department. I am grateful for this opportunity to serve as the Interim Director of Athletics and lead such a wonderful, accomplished group of students, coaches, and staff that has carried on the long, storied history of Alabama State Athletics. I have had the opportunity to work with some of the best administrators around the country, and I will draw from those experiences in leading Alabama State and keeping the Hornets on top of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. One time for Ms. Jennifer Lynn Williams, and you know, we got to bring our studio audience back up in this motherfucker. Give Ms. Jennifer Lynn Williams a round of applause. Already. Hey, man, I love to see black women ball out. I love to see black men ball out. I love to see black people ball out. You know what I'm saying? I love black. I am black. I've been black. I walk black. I talk black. I sleep black. I eat black. I dress black. I have a black. Back of my gums black. My eyeball, my whole eyeball black. My teeth ain't black though. I brush my teeth. So my teeth ain't black. But you get the point. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. Alright, so now I wanna go in on goddamn Jerry motherfucking Jones. Right? Because Jerry decided that if any of the players from the Dallas Cowboys, and he went on record and said this in public, if any of the players of the Dallas Cowboys take a knee during the national anthem, that they would not play. He would make them sit out the game. Now, as a long supporter of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't call myself a fan. And let me reiterate why. Because fan is short for fanatic, which is an irrational, dumbass person. I am not a fan. I am a supporter of the Dallas Cowboys. That is my favorite football team. But I do not fuck with Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones is a pussy-ass cracker. I've never liked him. I've never thought that he was really interested in winning. I thought he was interested in more so money than winning. Jerry Jones has made some dumbass choices over the years. Do you realize we could have had Randy Moss and Ed Reed as Cowboys? Jerry Jones has done a lot of shit that I just, sports-wise, that I was just unhappy with. But now, Jerry Jones is telling the Dallas Cowboy players that if you take a knee during the national anthem, that you will not play. I, Joseph Ward, would like to see what the hell these Dallas Cowboys players are going through. I think they're on a bye week this week. They're on a bye week. But if they're not, I want to see what the hell is going on and what the goddamn players are going to do. Because first of all, for Jerry Jones to tell the players that if they take a knee, that they won't be able to play. For him to say some shit like that, that lets you know, first of all, that Jerry Jones has that plantation mentality. Jerry Jones has that mentality of, you guys are my property. I own y'all. And we all know Jerry Jones is a bitch. Right? He be on that bullshit, right? So, are the players going to take a knee or not? Every player on the team should take a fucking knee. Every player on that team should feel insulted, whether you black or not, should feel insulted that a fuck ass like Jerry Jones would say some shit like that. Say some shit to tell you that you as a grown man can't make a decision for yourself to take a stand against the injustices or Trump or whatever the fuck y'all think y'all taking a stand for now, because hell, I don't really know. But whatever it is, goddamn it, stand, right? But for Jerry Jones to put that edict out to tell the players that if you stand, you will be suspended, that's some real cracker shit right there. That's some real-ass, real-life cracker shit. And he basically like, hey, man, so what y'all going to do? What you going to do? Because I write you checks. And I know y'all niggas love this money. I know y'all love this money. I know you love this pain, Dez. Dez, we know you ain't going to stand. We know you ain't no real nigga, Dez. We know you ain't no real nigga. I'm Jerry Jones, Dez, and I write them checks. I'm the reason you can have them, that mohawk and them parts in your head. And I guarantee you ain't going to stand. You tough on them streets with them other niggas. But you know you ain't tough with me because I write checks. That's Jerry Jones, right? So I want to see what happened. I want to see who on the Cowboys. Now, they are on the bye week this week. So Jerry Jones, he said it at a inconvenient time for the players. Or maybe a convenient time. Time will tell. But again, it gives time for it to be sat on and marinated and plotted and contemplated, right? So if Jerry Jones, or let me say, if the players do not take a knee, it will further cement my thoughts of most of the players, most of the NFL players, of the house niggas of the sporting world. Now, let me contrast that with in the NBA, according to what Adam Silver says, the commissioner of the NBA, it is the rule that the players must stand for the anthem. So in the midst of this anthem protesting, in one league, where the players don't have much power and control, what people think they do, because a lot of people are saying we're about to see the power of the NFL players. A lot of people are saying, well, Jerry Jones shouldn't have done that because he's waking up these beasts. I don't really think – well, I want the NFL players to take a risk, and I want the NFL players to be hardcore. I want the NFL players to show Jerry Jones just how much of a fuckboy he is. I want them Dallas Cowboys players to not play. I want every single black player, especially all the good players, take a knee. And if y'all white dudes want to take a knee, please, take a knee. I want to see that. That's what we should see. But also, I read in the news that Diddy offered, hey, put out the statement of, hey, let's start our own league. Now, I actually read that on Instagram, so I know Diddy didn't get my message, but I told Diddy, shit, I know I ain't got as much money as you, but if you serious about starting the league, I got 500 on it right now. I know some of y'all probably laughing at me. Did this motherfucker just say he got 500 on it? Yeah, I say I got 500. Bitch, I ain't got that Diddy money. Damn it, I got 500 on. I can make some more payments when I get paid. All right? But the point is, I'm putting my money down for us to start our own league. Now, Diddy, are you just blowing smoke, or is you serious? Because a lot of motherfuckers can get shit together and go ahead, and we can start our own league. Hey, Diddy, I swear, I did the at Diddy. Diddy, I got $500 down if you really serious about black folks starting our own motherfucking league. Because, and the reason I say this is because for Jerry Jones to make that edict that he made, and then for the rule in the NBA to be that players have to stand for the league in the midst of the protests going on, see, players are put in compromising positions. They are put in compromising positions. But that's why I stress every week, us having our own league. Hey, man, look like my motherfucking dog, Black Pat, that jumped on the line. What it is, Pat?
Hey, man, you said Diddy said what?
Diddy said that we should put our money up and create our own league. And I think he kind of, it was like a mild call out to say, hey, y'all, let's start our own league. That's what he said.
Man, Diddy ain't saying about shit.
I mean, you know, if he is, I got my 500 on it. And then when I get paid, whenever I get paid again, you know, other checks, I can put other money on it, but you know.
Tell Diddy this. For every dollar that Diddy contribute,
yes, you tell him.
I contribute one penny.
Well, shit, you balling that.
Yeah.
It is, Pat. You ballin'.
You tell him that my ultimate
in the hill. Okay. Okay, shit. Hey, 1 cent a day can keep crackers away, huh? That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Hey, tell me your thoughts on this, though. Motherfucker Jerry Jones said, If you are for all the players on Dallas Cowboys, if you take a knee during the national anthem, you will not play the game. Now, this is after Jerry Jones took their little punk-ass, fake-ass stance against Trump. Now, check this out now. Jerry Jones and his players took their knee before the anthem. And so now Jerry is trying to act like he's not in demonstration with the things because they took their knee before the anthem, kind of like South Air Ray Lewis. I wasn't demonstrating. I was praying. You can't sit there and say I was demonstrating against the flag or the national anthem. I was praying. So that's what Ray Lewis is saying. So give me
is
your
that,
thoughts.
Was that like his real words? Like,
yeah.
Is that really what he's trying to say?
Yeah. True shit. Real shit.
Ray Lewis need to sit his ass down somewhere, bro. Why does he even have a voice?
Because he a bitch. And you know bitch asses get voices on in white media. We know that. Look at that. What's the sheriff, that Milwaukee sheriff? What's his name? Sheriff, what's his name?
The
one with that ugly ass mustache and beard?
Sheriff Ruckus? Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Sheriff Dickie.
I know you're
Booty,
talking about.
So. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So, man, what you think, what you think about Jerry Jones putting his edict out, as well as What do you think the NBA players are going to do, being that they have a rule that says they have to stand for the flag? I mean, for the anthem.
I mean, personally, I don't think the NBA player is going to do nothing. I think the rule is stupid. You know,
yeah.
All of this, you know, you go back to, like we didn't talk about this before, you go back to prior to 9/11, 2001, it wasn't no strange sight to see people not standing for the anthem. It wasn't no strange sight to see people, to see sports teams not even out on the field when the anthem was playing. Like, that wasn't no rare thing back then. You know, all of a sudden, 9/11 happened, and, you know, everybody got super patriotic, and they got to the point where now it's just stupid. You know, so the whole situation to me is dumb. Jerry Jones, you know, Jerry Jones doing what Jerry Jones do. From my understanding of Jerry Jones, he's always been that dude that would do something like this and make a statement like this. You know,
Jerry Jones always wanted to be the top shot guy. He always wanted
to be. He want to assert his dominance, show everybody his power and control. That's Jerry Jones. And most definitely. So if you've been following the Cowboys during the era of Jerry Jones, which has pretty much been like everybody that's a Cowboys fan at this point, you shouldn't be surprised by Jerry Jones. Honestly, though, I don't think the football players going to do nothing outside of what they've been doing, taking the knee. I don't think Puffy going to do nothing outside of what he's been doing, tweeting. I don't think, even if they did try to start a new league, it's going to be, they're going to get the USFL treatment times 100. The NFL going to try to squash that immediately, and they probably going to be successful because, you know, we ain't loyal to us. That's why
I was going to say, because if black folks supported it, like, we wouldn't have a, like, white folk couldn't touch it if black folk just said, fuck it, we're going to support it, you know.
But, you know, we ain't going to do that because you got black folk now already talking about, man, who going to play? I ain't going to play. I'm going to ask the players to go play, and I ain't going to be – they're going to be giving up millions of dollars and this, that, and the, you got people, black folk already talking about how it's going to fail. We ain't loyal. These hoes ain't
loyal. But it's like to me, with this one, we finna really see who real and who ain't and what type – because I would love to see, like I just said before you came on, I would love to see every player – black and white, just say fuck you, Jerry, and take a knee. Because if every player on the team, all 53 men, take a knee, is he really gonna forfeit the game? Is it that serious for Jerry to forfeit the game? But also, it's like the players, like, because to me, that's Jerry Jones has put it on the line to say, hey man, this football is more important than anything else in your life, so you better put this football first or else. So what you going to do?
Yeah, but, like, if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm paying you $40 million to play football, you're damn right. From my perspective, this is the most important thing in your life. I don't give a shit.
I mean, and I get that, but it's like the players, hey, That's why I'm on them. The players, what do y'all? Because I'm gonna be real. If I was a player, I'd have been to say something, Jerry.
Yeah, and that, but see, that's where I would be. I'm right there with you. Like, forget Jerry. Jerry doing what Jerry do. The players, what are y'all doing? And honestly, I don't even like. They really in a no-win situation. They really are. If they all take a knee and Jerry Jones forfeit the game, he looked like a hero. They all take a knee. He docked. They pay for whatever. He saved money. If they all play, he looked like he got supreme power. He's really played his hand quite well. Because you know if they all take a knee and Jerry, and I don't even know if he could, but say he did decide
but
to call
down. He can't find them for taking the knee, though. Like, because the fines will have to come from that NFL like that, or even if the team tried to fine him, the players could appeal them, and those appeals, I feel those appeals, or those fines will be overturned, because what rule was violated, what team rule. How are you going to find the team for doing the same shit you did 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, but for that, you would have to figure out, you know, now you got to get into each one of their contracts, figure out what's in their contracts, what's. But even to that, my biggest thing would be, so say they all did, if Jerry Jones could call down and say we forfeit the game, you know how popular that would make him in white America? He would, like, become Jesus status for the next 2 weeks.
It would make, I don't know, man, because I think it would make Jerry Jones seem as if he don't have control of his team. Because the Cowboys are already have a losing record, so that'd be another loss on the thing, and you know, the more games you win, the further you go on in the season into the playoffs, the more money you make. So that's what I'm thinking about it from that. It's like, that's gonna hurt his money in the long run, and then also as a free agent destination, because as a player, you can draft me, but that's my contract is up, or if I'm a free agent, why would I choose to play for your team? Because I, as a free agent, I can dictate who I play for. So Dallas, to me, Dallas should be off the table as a free agent destination. As a Cowboy fan, I'm saying that.
Yeah, but if I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm thinking about it from that angle, I don't make no statement at all.
Well, see, that's, you know, Jerry Jones is an arrogant fuck, too. Oh, yeah, and let me clarify myself. Like I said earlier, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm a Cowboy supporter. Fans are crazy. I'm a Cowboy supporter. I'm not a fan. But Jerry Jones is an arrogant fuck. And it's like Jerry Jones is the one that he'll walk in your house butt naked and steal your stuff and then tell you in your face that he's not stealing.
Yeah, but, you know, I think this whole thing for Jerry Jones, I think it's bigger than revenue and income at this point. I think he's trying to appeal to a larger audience. And
I mean,
nothing would solidify that appeal more than the players taking the knee and him actually following through with what he said. You know,
sponsors and shit too, like those Cowboy sponsors. Now, I think one of the things that he's trying to do is use his leverage as being, quote-unquote, the most powerful owner in the NFL because he has the most valuable franchise and the most popular franchise. So,
true.
And actually, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are the most, the richest franchise in all of sports. They are now. I think they're worth over $9 billion now. So I think that's one of the stances that Jerry's taking, that I'm powerful, I control this team, and Trump my motherfucking homeboy. So
yeah, but you know, like, the NFL is taking a hit right now, not because people are supporting the players, but because people are tired of the players protesting. They want to just get back to football. They want to see you play football. They don't care about your personal opinions. Jerry Jones doing what he's doing right now aligns with that narrative. And so that's why I think the players are really – they are in a compromising position, but it's a no-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, another part of that makes it a bad position is a lot of those players, they feel like they're forced to take a knee because if they don't, shit, the community ain't really going to support them. So we do got to look at the community on this. That's why I say I would want them to take a knee. I'm not telling them what to do because we all know that the community as a whole not going to support these players like they should be if all bad things happen. I mean, hell, look at Kaepernick. Like we really sitting up here with Kaepernick begging motherfuckers to give him a job. Like, I understand you may want to play football, but right now, Cap could be making 8 figures right now.
I don't understand why Cap ain't at the forefront of this start your own league thing. I really don't. I mean, right now he's got the star power. He's got the attention. He's got everything except the money to lead that into. And that's, you know, we talked about that before. We talked about that last year when all this stuff first started, that the community really wanted to support Cap. Somebody need to have a job ready for him when he lose his. We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. Yeah. Ain't nobody had no job for him. And maybe somebody do have a job for him, but maybe Cap don't want to go from making millions to making thousands or making hundreds of thousands. Who knows?
But see, that's one of the things that conflicts me about this whole thing with Cap is you are fighting against the system that you're still trying to be a part of.
And that's the conflict with all of the NFL players and the NBA players. Because honestly, I don't think they see their sport as part of the problem. They're just trying to use their platform to speak out on another problem. They're not. If Cap had connected the dots that the NFL was connected to the same oppression that you were trying to protest against, I think he would have done his protest a little bit differently. But nobody connected that dot for him.
Because it's like the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I was reading earlier, he put out some piece that was against Trump, like rhetoric against Trump or whatever, and the things that Trump has been saying and doing. But I'm like, bitch, you donated $1 million to the Trump campaign. What you talking about? You've been the Trump supporter. So now you trying to flip sides now? Like we can't look that shit up? Now y'all
talking
wild.
About both sides, isn't it?
But if you really thought that motherfucker was gonna be smart, you stupid. But it's like, but also look at the players. Are not, like you said, the players are not looking at the league for what it is. The league is ran by mostly 31 of the 32 teams are ran by, I think maybe 30 or 31 of the 32 teams are ran by white men. So I think the Detroit Lions owner is a woman, and the Jacksonville Jaguars owner is I think he's from Iran. And he's a Muslim who supports Trump.
Yeah, NFL as an organization and as separate entities in the NFL teams are Trump supporters at the top level.
Yeah. And the players don't really, I don't know what the players don't really see, but that's why my thing is, it's interesting, I do want to see what the Dallas Cowboys see. I know I'm not watching football, and I ain't going to lie, I want to watch that game, that next Cowboys game, and see what happens.
Ain't nothing wrong with watching the intro, bro. Ain't nothing wrong with watching the first 5 minutes of the game if you want to see if they're going to take a knee or not.
Because, boy, look at here. I know I'll be screaming at my TV ready to record this fix. Either way. Hey. But it's interesting, the crossroads that we are, but also the fandom that we as black people go through. When it comes to things that we like, you know, or things that we give our attention to, and that just that fandom just goes overboard. But also, just this whole situation, man, it's funny. It's interesting to see. It's interesting to see how it's played out because a lot of people are saying that this is one of the things that will really go down in history as changing things. I don't really see too much change. I don't really have a lot of faith that we're going to get a lot out of this as black people, so, you know.
Well, I mean, Joe, you still got motherfuckers walking around happy that they was a part of the civil rights movement. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be. You should be proud that you did something. But you should also be objective about what you actually accomplished. So,
yeah, because this football fight not really a real fight to me.
Yeah, it's not going to accomplish nothing. You know, like, hey, I'm happy y'all found your nuts. They was your baby nuts, not your big boy nuts, because your big boy nuts would have been like, let's start our own shit. Your baby nuts is basically, I'm going to cry until I get milk. So you found your baby nuts. Good job.
There was only a handful of players taking a knee this year after Cap, even last year. There was only a handful of players. Like, I got to give credit to, like, Michael Jenkins, Martellus Bennett, Michael Bennett, Eric Reed of the San Francisco 49ers, players like that. There's some others I can't think of right now, but you got to give credit to them because because, you know, week one when Cap did it, Cap didn't tell nobody, so he did it by himself. But since that second week Cap did it, I know for a fact Eric Reed was by Cap's side every game, and Eric Reed still has been taking the stands. So my hat goes out to those players, but to the other players, they're only doing this shit because of Trump. And that takes a lot of the staying in the momentum out of what's really going on, and we still not talk about the real issue of why Cap took a knee in the first place.
Well, even to that, like, it's hard as well, because everything is being focused on Cap too. We keep ignoring the fact that players protested before Kaepernick. Players protested, like, that people are acting like Kaepernick is the. Yeah, people are acting like Kaepernick is the very first football player to ever protest.
No, it's just, I think what it is the way he protested and the way his protest brought attention that got people buzzing, because we still here right now in 2017 talking about this.
I think it was because Kaepernick was already kind of a controversial figure to begin with.
Well, he wasn't. It was some controversy surrounding some of the things that was going on because of the way he became a starter, going to the Super Bowl, going to the NFC Championship, and then the dramatic fall off that the 49ers had as an organization, especially at the Harbaugh. They had that bad season on the Harbaugh. Harbaugh been fired and all those things there, and then Cap just out of nowhere taking the knee as a backup quarterback. And they're like, well, why the hell is this backup quarterback taking the knee? So.
And then you add into that the hyper-nationalized nature, the hyper-nationalized state that our country is in right now. You add to that the hyper-patriotic state, the hyper-patriotic mentality that's flowing through everybody's mind. I mean, look, like we said earlier, if Cap had done this exact same thing back in 2000, 99,
they would have acted quietly. They would have acted quietly. Just like Tariq Abdul-Raouf. What would have happened is, slowly but surely, the Kaepernick name would have just disappeared from the limelight.
But we also have to add into that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, because now, you know, the advent of social media, like, no real news, real news happened back then. So now with the advent of social media and stuff, just keep going. Cap name going to keep coming up, but.
And you add into that the fact that, you add into that the fact that the media has realized, you know, because we go through these cycles with the racism in the news. When it's generating ratings, they display it. The moment the ratings trail off, people are tired. That's a key indicator that people are just tired of seeing it, hearing about it. They switch to something else for a couple of years. And then they come back to it when it picked back up. Like, so you add into it not only the situation with the patriotism, the nationalism, all of the other stuff we talked about, but then you add into that the fact that he timed it, the timing of it was perfect, the uptick, you know, the uptick of media coverage of racial issues because of the ratings that they generate, and now you have a media that is going to force him to be involved, and then all of that, I honestly think, and we talked about this before too, I honestly think Donald Trump is using most of this as a distraction, while the rest of them damn idiot politicians on the local level push
that's
through food.
That's what I keep telling people. They're acting like everybody concentrating on Trump while real shit happened, while Mike Pence and real shit happened.
Yeah. Bessie DeVos just redid the thing to make it harder for women that get raped on college campuses to have due process. She just made it more difficult. You know, and you go down the line with the various different rights, freedoms, and restrictions and regulations and all that other things that were put in place that are being pulled back or tightened up or whatever. Man, look, y'all keep letting Trump beat y'all over the head with this NFL shit.
Hey, man, fuck Trump, fuck Jerry Jones, and fuck the NBA's rule, and fuck anybody who got a problem with black people taking a stand, and fuck anybody who tried to tell black people that we got to soften our stand and make them feel comfortable. So, that's all I got to say about that.
And to that, I'm going to go one further. And I know all these fans ain't going to like it, but I'm going to go one further. I'm going to go two further. First one further, fuck Eminem. I know that's another show. That punk ass thing he did. And then I'm going to go another one further. Fuck Colin Kaepernick post having his meeting with the white Marine and made him soften his stance.
I talked about that. I did not enjoy him even considering taking that dude's meeting. For what? What did I talk to you for? You talk to your white folk. You tell your white folk to stop killing my goddamn people. Don't tell me to make you feel good with the protest that I'm taking. Fuck you. But anyway, we're going to move on. Keep this train moving. So, we're talking about football, talking about Jerry Jones and all these things. So, of course, we got to talk about Jemele Hill. So, Jemele Hill has been suspended for 2 weeks by ESPN for her tweets regarding Jerry Jones and his edict for the players to, if they take a knee like we just talked about. So, Jemele basically told people to boycott the NFL by boycotting its sponsors and taking money out of the NFL. So, ESPN's found that to be damaging to Jemele or to ESPN name, and they suspended her for 2 weeks. So, the question is, should we ride for Jemele Hill? And I asked that question because we're not going to sit here and act like Jemele Hill just didn't support that article by that dumbass fuck nigga Damon who wrote the article about black men being the white, straight black men being the white men of the black community, and Jemele Hill strongly supported that. So we're not, like, my thing is with my community. This is how I am on my community. And I don't care who you are, whether you're within the community or outside the community. You cannot come and shit on us and then think we're just supposed to help you when you get yourself in trouble. Because one thing now, we're not telling you, Jemele, we're not telling you not to speak up, not telling you not to talk, not telling you not to say things. But you did kick the hornet's nest. Because see, on here on the Freedom Train Network, I can say what I want to say. Nobody can shut me down. The only thing that can really mess me up is the power going out. But damn it, I could probably still call in until my phone go dead, right? But other than that, see, Jemele, when you fight, once again, when you fight behind enemy lines, I'm not mad at what, I'm not mad at your tweets for Trump. I'm not happy you were suspended, but I'm not eager to support you because I think you have to understand that you can't just shit on us and then holler help. You can't do that. And I think we're going to sit back and watch on this one. Now, we're not going to let them do nothing drastic to you, but you just got suspended for 2 weeks. You'll be all right. Shake it off and come on back. What you think, Pat?
No, I mean, I'm right there with you. Look, you got suspended. And honestly, you know, you deserve to have your PP smacked a little bit for what you did. So it's not even like it's out of line for ESPN to, I mean, you basically told people to cut off the lifeblood to the largest partner of the company that hires you. Yeah, you deserve to have your pee-pee smacked a little bit, and you deserve to have us sit back and watch, especially after, like you said, you co-signed that order, that hit piece on black men, when black men had just come out and supported you and made sure that you kept your job when you was trying to get rid of you.
And they're still supporting you. They're still supporting you.
Yeah, they still are. And you still, I'm sure, support that hit piece by whatever. So, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, Joe, I'm not happy she got her PP smacked, but I don't think it was out of line. If it was something completely drastic, if she had gotten fired, I'd have been like, all right, well, let's put that aside for now. She just got fired. That's crazy. But, and this is your second time? You know what I'm saying? Like, I read. Like, I don't just go off emotion. I read up now. This is your second time violating their terms and conditions. And I'm pretty sure you knew about the first one. And I'm pretty sure you knew this was going to be number two. So I don't even want to expect to see you act a surprise. So, you on your own on this one.
She got to understand, you just got to take your suspension, go in the corner, soak for a minute. Now, is this the smartest thing that ESPN has done? Maybe, maybe not, because I know they're trying to bring in the black audience and this will hang in the black people that they're trying to bring in. But and if ESPN know that they have to keep good graces with their sponsors, and once again, Jemele did keep the hornet's nest after she shifted, she's supporting the shitting on black men.
But look,
and
Joe,
then trying,
look.
And then defending her piece on that, too.
But look, you got to be intelligent with what you're doing, man.
She do. I mean, just, trust me, she do.
Yeah, you can't just be out there being all reckless, saying all kinds of, like, even in you being pro-black and standing up for the people, it's a way to do things. especially when you're behind enemy lines. You can't.
I mean, what? Right. See, that's why I'm starting on saying what I'm saying, because she's kicking the hornet's nest. Like she keeps poking the bear, and I'm not mad at her for doing that. We're not mad at her for doing that, but she got to understand that when you, like you say, when you work for white folk, and that's your main job, and you want to take that type of stance like that, it's going to be consequences. Those consequences are all going to be negative towards you, so you have to be ready for that. But it's like the black people are we're going to boycott ESPN? No, you're not. You still watch college football, so you're not boycotting any ESPN. Let's be honest. If you watch college football this weekend, your ass ain't boycotting ESPN. You watch Clemson lose to Syracuse Thursday. You ain't boycotting ESPN.
Well, then, too, we got to remember, because I think a lot of the times we get all emotional about the fact that we think other people or these corporations or organizations are trying to bring in more black viewers and this, that, and the third. And, look, we got to put that in perspective. They are trying to bring in more black viewers, but not at the expense of the white ones they already have.
Right, exactly.
Let's be clear.
I mean,
that's all I got,
if you
man.
Don't
I
get that,
make
then,
sure that that's clear.
I mean, if you don't get that, this ain't the happy-go-lucky, we are the one world that they keep making out. America isn't like that. America, like white people in America, most white people in America don't give a shit about black people. They like black culture, but not black people. And that has to be understood. But it's like, now you know what you mail. Like we say, you know, not to spend a whole lot of time on this film, because I got on her last week by her support of the article. But she has to, her and the people who are supporting this sandwich book, we have to understand what's going on, what's being done, and what's being said. And once again, I don't care whether you're outside or inside of the community, you can't shit on us and expect us to just be happy to help you. Especially in the situation, like if it was more drastic, then we'll help you, but we'll go off on your ass after we help you. Then we will put you in the corner. But in this one, you suspend 2 weeks, get your vacation, drink your beer, watch your football, come on back, and be ready.
Man, I mean, you know what though, Joe? Is I'm gonna be real, man. My perspective: if you're working for white people and you say some crazy shit and they react, I don't, like, how much defense? If you are in the lion's den and you poke a lion with a stick and he wake up and maul your ass, you can't be screaming for all of us that are outside of the den to come in the den to help you. Like, so now we're going to put all of us at risk because you were stupid? You know, why you ain't just tiptoe?
She was taking
a
stand. She was taking a stand.
You don't
She was speaking up for the injustices.
Look, you don't take a stance in that situation in that way. You don't. You there are ways to take a stance when you inside the bear's cave without getting mauled by the bear. And you need to be smart enough to figure out how to do that.
But see, even in this, it's not even about the tweets being about them mad at the players, because these two, I don't know if she was tweeting about this stuff when it was just Kaepernick taking the knee, or when the players were taking the knee for the injustice. But now all of this is coming about after Trump. So it seems to me that all of this is about, hey, don't let Trump defeat us. Don't let Trump get us all. Don't let Trump. This ain't about Trump. This ain't about the flag and none of that. We've lost the narrative.
Yeah, well, we like moral pie. We like moral cake. Moral cake tastes better than real cake. We like to dream about the idea of a cake rather than baking a cake, and that's what this whole thing boils down to for me. Everybody want to, instead of defeating white supremacy racism, we want to push back at Trump for making a statement. And that the whole
that's why people are happy about Eminem. That's why they're so Eminem happy, huh?
Yep.
So fag in the middle. But anyway, let's move on a little bit. Some more football news. So the courts in Texas have overturned Zeke Elliott's restraining order of the 6-game suspension. So the 6-game suspension has been reinstated. So the NFL is adamant about punishing Ezekiel Elliott for what seems to be nothing. It seems because all of the evidence that we've kind of seen to come across suggests that Zeke Elliott didn't domestically abuse the white girl he was with, but the NFL is trying to impose the 6-game suspension on him anyway. And it's, you know, for a lot of us, we feel like the NFL trying to make up for fucking up on the domestic violence cases in the past. So they like, hey, man, all right, Zeke, you in the spotlight. We're going to go ahead and get you. And I was listening to a clip from ESPN Radio, and Stephen A. Smith, funny, man. Stephen A. Smith, funny. And it's funny that the white boy, Max Kellerman, have more of a social conscience, or is more socially in tune than Stephen A. Smith, because basically Stephen A. Smith was telling Zeke Elliott to stop fighting it, just lick his wounds, take 6-game suspension, and then just go on and be ready to play in 6 weeks. While Max Kellerman, white dude, is telling Zeke Elliott to fight it and fight it to the end. And what the hell is wrong? Like, if Zeke is innocent, Zeke should fight this to the end, if he's innocent. If he's not, take his 6-game suspension and go on. But why is the NFL, like, Zeke is not even guilty in the court of law. Like, there's no evidence so far that anybody has found, and if so, please shoot it to me. But ain't no evidence anybody found so far that Zeke Elliott has actually committed domestic violence against the young girl, the young white girl who say he did. And the NFL is just trying to cover their ass. We all know the NFL is just trying to cover their ass. We all know the NFL is trying to appease these white feminist organizations and things like that. So, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I get it and I don't get it, but also it still goes back to us having our own league. We need our own league. We need to have our black players and be able to support them and do what we need to do, because look at the shit that they're going through. Look at the things that they're going through. Like, come on, man. Like, I if I was Zeke Elliott and I'm innocent, I'm enraged right now. Y'all really gonna try to make me serve a 6-game suspension for something I didn't do because y'all trying to save face for things that y'all didn't do in the past? You crazy as hell. And I'm gonna fight this. And for anybody to suggest to this man that he shouldn't fight this, that he should just lay down and lick his wounds, you a bitch. You shut up. You shouldn't even be talking about this, because you know if it was you, you would fight it to the end. You wouldn't just concede. You don't just concede when you, especially when you know you're innocent. If he's innocent, concede. Do not concede. If he's guilty, concede. But I mean, goddamn NFL, Roger Goodell, what are you doing, man? What are y'all doing? But it's just more evidence and more things piling up that's happening with black players that should let us know that we need our own league. But we also need to do better in covering our own people and our own behaviors and things like that. I mean, being put in these positions is not good. Being have to be told as a grown man, as a grown millionaire man, like, y'all boys make more money than me and I got more freedom than y'all. Ain't that a bitch? I go in the store and I look at all the prices. Y'all boys go in the store, don't even look at no prices. But in reality, at the end of the day, I have more freedom. Guess what? Watch this. You want to see how much freedom I got? Roger Goodell, eat boy booty. Watch nothing happens. And see, but that's the thing. When you own your stuff, when you charge your stuff, you don't have to worry about that. So.
But they ain't going to do that. And, you know, I'm pretty sure if they bothered to read their contracts, they would see that you're getting millions of dollars to play a game, but it's a whole lot of strings attached. Every dollar got a string attached to it. So,
yeah.
You know, most people don't think about what you give up when you gain. And it's not even just the money. It's like when you gain fame, fame is an equal exchange for privacy and freedom. For every ounce of fame you gain, that's an ounce of freedom and privacy that you give up. And people don't think about it like that. They just want to be known. They want the power. They're not even, because it ain't real power. They want the influence and the imaginary power that come with it. And a lot of people think you can't be rich without being famous, without understanding that, you know, some of the richest people in the world, you have no clue who they are.
Right.
I don't want none of that, man. Look, I understand. I want my freedom. I want my privacy. I want my security. You can keep the fame. I can find other ways to get the dollars.
Man, look at him. Look at him. But, Zeke, I hope you are, for one, if you are innocent, I hope it works out for you. If you are not innocent, man, take your punishment, and I hope you learn a lesson. I think you need to go get help if you're not innocent. But we have to understand that the more we support these institutions, the more we keep sending our black men into these institutions, the more our black men will be put through these situations, and our black people, our black athletes. So, yeah. So all I want to say about that on Ezekiel coming out there with all his shirts cut off, showing half shirt and everything.
Hey, man, I got to run. It's been real.
Hey, man. Hey.
What up?
Stay black.
Stay all black. Day, every day.
It is.
I got something to spout for anybody that needs some extra.
It is. Hey, man. Put on some shea butter, too.
All right.
One time for Black Pat coming on to the Fix. Talk about a little something. But yeah, Zeke, man, look. Leave them white girls alone. And I hope it works out for you if you're innocent. I really do. Listen, leave them white girls alone. Leave them white girls alone. You say you gotta leave them white girls alone. Yes. There you go. But I hope if you're innocent, it work out for you. So let's move on. Let's give you a little recap my way on some college football, or if you country, college football. So start off with the Friday game. We had two games on Friday. We had number two Clemson in Syracuse and number 8 Washington State at California. So Clemson lost. Yeah, Kelly Bryant, the quarterback from Clemson, suffered a concussion. He was actually, hey, that dude slapped him hard as hell. And he hit his head on the concrete, and Kelly Bryant was out. And, you know, he had a concussion. And Kelly Bryant didn't finish the game, so Clemson's redshirt freshman backup quarterback came into the game. But the offense wasn't the same. They couldn't really move the ball like they wanted to. And also, Clemson never led in the game. Syracuse always led in the game. So, you know, going into the second quarter, scores 14-7, Syracuse. In the second quarter, Clemson scored a touchdown to make it 14-14. Syracuse kicked the field goal to make it 17-14. And then Syracuse scored another touchdown. Clemson scored a touchdown field goal. Syracuse touchdown field goal to tie the game up at 24. Syracuse kicked the field goal in the third quarter to win the ball game. So, you know, Syracuse, they trying to do something. They won the game. They feel good. They feel good about themselves. Look out. So, that shakes up things in the FBS standings and in the ACC. So we're going to see what happens with these new college football rankings, especially when the bowl series rankings and things come out. I think on Tuesday we're going to see how that goes. But that shakes up a lot because I think that moves. I guess your top five would be Alabama, Wisconsin, Georgia, TCU, and who else? Probably Wisconsin. Yeah, because Wisconsin is undefeated at 6-0. So okay, but our other Friday night game was number eight Washington State. It was surprising people that they won. It was ranked in the top 10 anyway. Washington State. So under Mike Leach, but Washington State got their ass put by California, 37-3. Arkansas got stopped by Alabama 41-9. Missouri played Georgia tough in the first half. But Georgia put their foot on their neck in the second half and won 53-28. Now, Georgia's interesting because Georgia's defense is playing well. Georgia as a whole is playing pretty well, and they have a freshman quarterback. So, Fromm is his last name. So, Fromm went 18-26, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. So, he ain't doing too bad. He ain't do great, but it went too bad. It was, you know, Georgia had 370 yards as a team rushing with 4 touchdowns. But the scoring on this shit, right, it was a little back. It was almost a little back and forth in the first half. So first quarter was 14-14. Then the second quarter, Georgia dropped 20 points. Missouri was 7. And then Georgia just, second half, just putting that thing on their head. Georgia scored 13 in the third quarter and 6 in the fourth quarter. Missouri scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter with the field goal. But all that shit didn't help Missouri, and they lost to Georgia. So Georgia, they should be like the number. They should be ranked number 3 in the nation now, behind Alabama and Penn State, and then TCU before B5. So Washington lost to Arizona State. Washington was ranked 5 in the nation, so they lost to Arizona State. They shouldn't have done that, but they did. TCU. It's the only team that's actually playing defense in the Big 12. They beat Kansas State 26-6. So, that's good. Wisconsin beat Purdue 17-9. And at the time, Wisconsin is ranked 7th in the nation. LSU beat Auburn. Auburn's ranked number 10 in the country. Auburn had one loss at the time. So, Auburn is now 5-2 along with LSU. And they fall to the LSU Tigers 27-23. Miami and another thriller, another last-minute game, beat Georgia Tech 25-24. I was actually watching a little bit of this game. I had just left FAMU homecoming, and we was getting something to eat, and went to the restaurant, and it was cold as shit in the restaurant. I'm talking about, they sat us in the coldest seat in the house, the goddamn restaurant. It was cold as a mug, but one thing that kept me a little warm is watching football, so I got to see the last 6 minutes of the Miami game, and score was to kick the final field goal, the go-ahead field goal, which gave them a 25-24 victory over Georgia Tech. So Miami is undefeated in the ACC. So the ACC still has a undefeated team. So Oklahoma, hey, the Red River rivalry happened yesterday. Nobody even cares. So Texas and Oklahoma, remember when Texas and Oklahoma played? Now it's like the game of the week. They put the whole spotlight on that game. So, but not no more. But Oklahoma squeak out this win 29-24 over a 3-3, over now 3-3 Texas. So, Oklahoma got a lot of explaining to do, trying to pull themselves out of a hole to at least make a run to try to get to the college football playoffs. Utah barely lost to USC 27-28. Baylor lost to Oklahoma State 59-16. You know, Baylor don't even play defense. They shouldn't even put defense out there. Michigan beat Indiana 27-20. And Michigan and Penn State play next week, so that's going to be a good game to watch. Cincinnati lost to South Florida. South Florida 6-0. Hey, South Florida looked good. South Florida got some big, fast boys. Now they're playing their 6-0, so they beat Cincinnati 30-33. Boise State beat San Diego State 31-14. NC State been looking good. They beat Pittsburgh 35-17. I told y'all about Chubb, NC State. He ain't no joke. So, like I said, NC State beat Pitt 35-17. Michigan State beat Minnesota 30-27. UCF beat East Carolina 63-21. Stanford beat Oregon 49-7. West Virginia and Will Grier out there in the shootout against Texas Tech came back to win 46-35. Navy barely lost to Memphis, but they did. And that was a 30-27 victory. The Louisville game. Louisville lost to Boston College. I can't believe it, but Louisville did lose to Boston College. And I can't remember the final score off the top of my head. But Louisville lost to Boston College. But one of the things, the running back for Boston College had a nasty, Ooh, a nasty ass stiff arm on number 22, the DB from Louisville. Like the DB tried to wrap him up high, tried to get that high tackle, and Buddy stiff arms the hell out of him. Like, I'm talking like a one arm choke slam Buddy on the ground, and took it all the way to the house. That's a highlight. Like you got to go check that out. Like little Buddy from Boston College did that. I think they say little Buddy was a freshman too. From Boston College, they running back. So, man, shout out to him for that stiff arm. And too bad for that Louisville DB who got choke slammed to the ground on the back of his neck. Boy, I bet your mama was looking at the screen. Like, I can't even believe my baby got slammed on the neck. But you got slammed on your neck, little boy. So it's all good. It's all good. But that right there, including my yawn, is a wrap-up of what happened in this week of college football. So, on to my weekly rant. Y'all know how we do it in this rant. We get it in, hold no punches, and we don't care if you don't think we're right. It's my rant. J.R. Smith, we're back at it again. I'm not going to rant on you. I'm not going to rant too hard on you. But I do want to mention you, because the word on the street in the news is that you're mad at Dwayne Wade, that you're mad because Dwayne Wade is starting now. It's going to be the start at shooting guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You should have known that D-Wade, as soon as they brought in D-Wade, that you weren't going to be starting. So, I think right now they have Derrick Rose, D-Wade, LeBron, Crowder, and Love. That's the starting five. And then you have J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson coming off the bench. And then when IT comes back, have IT, if he's healthy, Isaiah Thomas, if he come back healthy, you have Derrick Rose, J.R. Smith, and Tristan Thompson coming off the bench, which is a good eight-man rotation. But nah. J.R. Smith is mad. He's upset. J.R., at some point, you're going to have to stop acting like you be acting. I know you feel like you should be starting, but let's just be real. Dwayne Wade still now is a better overall player than you. We're talking about overall. You can shoot the lights out. And you young, you got a little more spring in your step. But still, to this day right now, D-Wade is a better overall basketball player than you. Both sides of the ball. So, of course, you know that. And I know you feel like D-Wade's old and he can't do some things he used to do. And you're right. But he's still an overall better basketball player than you. So you're going to have to man up. And you coming off the bench, and you ain't a stranger to coming off the bench either. I'm going to need you to stop being in my weekly rant, J.R. Smith. And I don't be wanting to put you in my rant, but you end up in my rant for things that you be doing, J.R., because you be wilding, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not have time for you to be bringing all these shenanigans and you to be all up in your feelings because you ain't starting no more, man. These people trying to win the championship. You remember that? You remember what a championship is, what that feels like? That's what's happening this year. And I heard that Tristan Thompson is a little upset, too. Both of y'all need to get your panties out of a bind and learn what team is and play your role, man. Y'all have a nice squad over there at Cleveland. And you could do some nice things this year if everybody should just play their role and do their thing. Stop tripping about coming off the bench. You're going to come off the bench. Now, I was thinking that maybe they would bring Jay Crowder off the bench and still have LeBron at three, but it seems like they want to not put Crowder at three, but put LeBron at four. That's what it seems like. Now, that is interesting because Love at the five and LeBron at the four, so teams would be spread out like a mug. Like how do you defend that with your four and your five? So you'd be having to tweak your lineups and all types of things. So that gives you challenges. That's not necessarily a full bad thing, but I did think that Tristan Thompson would be starting. But Jay Crowder is going to start. Andy Wayne Wade is going to start. So Thompson and Smith, shut up. Play basketball. Second part of my rant goes to Mike Ditka. Now, Mike Ditka, I am in no way, shape, or form going to believe that you think that you really believe that there was no oppression that happened over the last 100 years. So, Mike Ditka was on one of these sports shows, and they was talking about things, people taking the knee, and Mike Ditka said, to his knowledge, he didn't see any oppression that happened over the last 100 years, like the end of slavery, redlining, Jim Crow, you know, Ku Klux Klan, civil rights, all types of things, you know, Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, all types of things that has happened over the years. The gunning down of Martin Luther King, Mecca, Evermore, the bombing of churches, all the things that has happened. And Mike Ditka is saying that he has no idea that racism or oppression has happened. I do not believe that, and I think if you believe that, you stupid. We got to understand that this is chess, not checkers, and these white folks are trained and they ready and they on cold. Mike is on cold. Don't fall for it. My rant is telling you, don't fall for it, don't fall for it, don't fall for it, don't fall for it. Stop falling for the bull. Stop really believing Mike Ditka is really that out of it, that he don't understand that oppression happened. I think they say that fool was born in the 1930s. So I think 1936 or something, they say Mike Ditka was born, right? 30-something, right? So Mike Ditka was in his 20s and the 50s. Mike Ditka was in his 30s and the 60s. And on and on. So you mean to tell me Mike Ditka was walking around here as a football player, as a person in the spotlight, knowing what's going on, with all this stuff around all these people? I have no idea what was going on in the world. If you believe that, you stupid. Don't even give Mike Ditka no energy on that. Talk about, out here, you know. Man, Mike Ditka know what's going on. And if you really believe him, something wrong with you. If you really believe Mike Ditka, you owe me $100. Straight up. We got to stop falling for this bull, man. We got to start understanding that this is chess, not checkers. And these white folks keep telling us any and everything to get us and keep us riled up about things that's going on. That's why we're distracted and we're not really concentrating on the real issues and the real things that are happening in our community, because we keep getting distracted by fools like Mike Ditka and all these things because they know we're extra emotional and we're going to get mad. I know he ain't just said, ain't no oppression happening. Yeah, he just said that because he know you're going to do what you're doing. Stop falling for the trap. Stop falling for the okie-doke. Mike Ditka know damn well what has happened over the last 100 years. Has access to too much information and resource to not know what was going on over the last 100 years between white people and black people. You can't tell me. And if you believe it, like I said, you owe me $100. It's all a part of playing chess and not chess. White supremacy going to keep you going. White supremacy has evolved. It's real out here. Mike Ditka know what he's doing. Mike Ditka know what he's talking about. And Mike Ditka know that white supremacy and racism is real and it's been happening. He know that. And you know that he know that. Don't fall for it. Fight the power. Elevate your mind. Be on something different. We got to stop getting so emotional about these things that these folks say. Everybody getting all emotional about Trump. Everybody getting all emotional about these white folks. Man, stop getting emotional. And then about these blacks a lot coons. Don't get the emotion. I'm not saying don't analyze. I'm not saying you can't speak on it. Stop having these emotional outbreaks. Really think Mike Ditka don't know what's going on? Come on, man. Stop this thing. Stop that. Hey. This is how we do it on the Fix. We keep it real. We don't fall for the bull. We're not falling for the bull, my dear. We're not falling for it. Jerry Jones, we see you. We see what you were doing over there in Dallas. We see you pulling people cards. I see you pulling cards. Man, here, we're with you, but we're going to let you take your suspension. Once again, you cannot be a part of the shitting on our community and then think that we're going to support you. You have to take your punishment. And when you're behind enemy lines and you kick the hornet's nest, you have to be ready for what happens. Right? Zeke Elliott, leave them white girls alone. That's it for you, Zeke. Leave them white girls alone. Learn from it. Learn from OJ. Even if OJ ain't learned from OJ, you learn from OJ. Leave them white girls alone, man. Get you a wholesome young black girl, that woman. Have a hold you down and care for every straight. Leave them white girls alone, man. And you found you a crazy one, too. And you in this situation. And I got a problem with anybody who trying to tell. Like, how do you, like, when you tell somebody who was in a relationship with somebody or in a sexual situation with somebody, they didn't really know the person's crazy. And they found out. Like, when I just find out you're crazy, how do I learn how to. Or how can you tell somebody you shouldn't be in these situations? I mean, these young dudes, now ain't nobody really teaching these young dudes about these women and things like that. And I think I'm still getting these dudes caught up. But I was about going to another rant, but I'm not. And I'm going to save it for next time, man, because, you know, we'll be here all day. But I am Joseph Ward. This is The Fix, the realest and the blackest sports podcast. I got bullets in my nose and I ride through. I get down, baby girl, because I was from the freestyle. But I ain't today, man. Two fingers in the air like a player. This is The Fix, the blackest and the realest sports podcast you have ever heard. Joseph Ward on the mic, a.k.a. Slim Jennings, and we keep it down on the Get Down. Holla!
I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Legs is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me.